So we come now to our message this evening. Let us ask the Lord's blessing on the reading and delivering of His Word. Our Heavenly Father, Your Word is powerful and mighty, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of bone and marrow. We come now before You as Your people, and we ask that You would use the power of Your Word to work in our hearts this evening. That You would expose our sins and help us to see Christ. That You would illumine our hearts by Your Spirit. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our text for this evening is Colossians chapter 1. We will be focusing on verses 3 and 4. But we're going to go ahead and read verses 3 through 14, as this is the beginning of a new section in the letter. So we're going to read verses 3 through 14, and then in the message specifically focus on verses 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 1, reading verses 3 through 14. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I wish that I could stand here and take credit for planning everything out so perfectly that we would be beginning Paul's section on Thanksgiving and prayer the week of Thanksgiving. But alas, I cannot. This was all done in the good providence of God. But it is appropriate now, as we come to this time of the year where our society recognizes the importance of giving thanks. And yet, within hours, turns right around and leads to the most materialistic and selfish day of the year on Black Friday. For Christians, what we see in Paul is that Thanksgiving is not a once-a-year occurrence. This is a regular feature of Paul's letters to include a word of thanksgiving and prayer to the churches that he is writing to. And Paul didn't celebrate the day of Thanksgiving. This wasn't something that he just wrote about once a year. This was a regular practice of expressing thanksgiving to God. And so I want us today, we're going to focus on the reason for Paul's thanksgiving, the faith and love of the Colossians, the church that he is writing to. We are going to look at what he's doing. He's expressing his thanksgiving to God in prayer. And then emphasize at the end that God is the one who is the one who should receive our thanksgiving. But as we start off this evening, I want us to first consider that reason for Paul's thanksgiving. We're going to work this passage a little backwards. We're going to start at verse 4 and then move back to verse 3. Because in verse 4, we have the reason that Paul is thankful and is expressing that thanks to God. In verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. So Paul's reason for his thanksgiving is twofold. The faith in Christ Jesus of the Colossians, and also their love for all the saints. And it's important for us to think about these things because Paul explains them a little bit. He has some qualifying clauses at the end of each of these sections, the faith in Christ Jesus and the love for all the saints. And as we think about this first one, the faith in Christ Jesus, it's easy for us to read this in English and just think that Paul is thankful that they believe that Jesus lived. When we think of faith in Jesus Christ, we think that they're just believing in Jesus. They just believe that he lived, that he died, that he was God, and that's all that's going on here. And that is going on here to an extent, but there's a little bit more that the original language is trying to bring out. It's not just that Jesus is the object of our faith, but here Paul is trying to communicate this idea that for the Christian, and as what has been going on in the life of the Colossians, is that their faith in Christ Jesus is what defines their lives. That in Christ Jesus is who they are, that their lives are defined by Jesus. It wasn't too long ago that our culture went through a fad of using this phrase as a life statement of YOLO. You only live once. And besides the obvious problem that this phrase has no concept of an afterlife, there is life after death. This phrase suffers from the problem that its emphasis is that your life and your desires, what you want to accomplish, is the most important thing. You only live once. So go ahead. Do that crazy thing you want to do. You only live once. But that's not the message that Paul is trying to communicate here. What Paul is communicating here is that Jesus is the purpose of the life of the Christian. Their life is defined by faith in Christ. Jesus is the air they breathe. This union with Christ is the point of the Christian. And Paul is thankful for that. And this fits also with the imagery that Paul will use later on in the letter. It's not just here that he speaks of this idea, but also he speaks of the Colossians living with Christ, living by Christ. You're no longer the old man who has been put to death, but you are now the new man in Jesus. We live by faith. Everything that we do is to flow from faith in Christ. Paul talks about this in Romans 14, where he talks about that which does not proceed from faith is sin. Because the life of the Christian is Jesus. Living by faith, living in Jesus. Everything we do, all the decisions that we make, the way we conduct our relationships, the way that we conduct our business, is to be defined by the principle of faith in Christ. And this is how the Colossians are living. And as Paul hears this report, this gives him cause for thanksgiving. He is rejoicing that the Colossians are living by faith. And this then flows into the next thing that he is thankful for. The second reason that he is thankful is their love for all the saints. In Paul, faith and love are very closely connected. In fact, they're the two of the three things that the famous saying from 1 Corinthians of faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And we actually will see hope mentioned in verse 5, but we're going to talk about that more next week, Lord willing. But faith and love are very closely connected because faith expresses itself in love. Paul speaks of this in Galatians 5, where in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision count for anything, but only faith working through love. We could list a whole host of passages that deal with these two ideas together, the relationship of faith and love. But we see here that Paul is thankful for the Colossians, their union with Christ, their living in Christ, their faith in Christ, which is then expressed in their love for all the saints. And it's important here to focus a little bit on that last clause, their love for all the saints. And the first thing to notice from that is that they're loving the saints. How did Jesus say in the Gospel of John that the world would recognize who we are? It is by our love for each other. We are all in the church, one body. As we read this morning in our confession of faith from the Westminster Confession, we are one bride. We are not many brides, we are one bride of Christ. And we are all part of this family together. And we are to be marked by love for each other. One of the hallmark requirements or things that people should see in us as Christians is that we love one another. And Paul here is recognizing that the Colossians love the saints, that their faith is being worked out in their love. And he is thankful. But it's more than that. It's not that they just love each other in their own church. He mentions that this is for all of the saints. And we see that the love that the Colossians have for the saints is not just limited to their church. If we are one bride in Christ, that includes all the churches. All of Christ's bride beyond just that local congregation. We are not an isolated community from the rest of Christ's people. We are one church and we have many individuals. We have many members and we have many congregations and denominations. But ultimately, Christ's bride is one. Christ's bride is one. And the Colossians are not only loving each other in their own church, but they're also loving the church around them. An example of how this plays out for us today is something as simple as our thank offering. Our thank offering where, because of the blessings that God has given us, we now get to bless the church beyond just these four walls. Where this thank offering is used to bless churches around the nation, to bless missionaries as they work in churches around the world. This is an example of us practicing what Paul is commending the Colossians for. They're loving all the saints. And that is just one example of how we have the opportunity to also love all of the saints. Now, having thought about the reason for Paul's thanksgiving, the faith of the Colossians, and their love for all the saints, I want us to now consider what Paul does. Because he hears this report and he has thanksgiving, and now he responds in prayer to God, expressing that thanksgiving and then sharing that thanksgiving with the Colossians. And there's some things here that I think we sometimes miss a little bit. And first off, notice that Paul is actively praying for other Christians. You know, when you read Paul's letters, there's a reoccurring action he does. This guy prays a lot for the churches. Almost every letter, he either includes a prayer, tells them that he's praying for them, or some form of praying for other Christians. And this is an example for us of how we can conduct ourselves in relationship with the church. An expression of loving all the saints is an expression of praying for all the saints. Praying for all the saints is a way of expressing this love. And Paul is doing this. He's actively praying for them. And there's many things that he prays about. As we work through these next several verses in the weeks to come, we will see some of the things he's praying for. But it's interesting, he doesn't just pray for all their negative things. Sometimes we think that prayer is just an action of praying when it's hard. But Paul actively prays for the betterment of these Christians. He's praying for them to be more like Christ, for them to be sanctified, for them to be more holy, for them to grow in wisdom and knowledge and love for each other. And so I want to challenge us this evening to think about how do we view how we love one another? And specifically, how do we do it praying for one another? Paul here gives us an example of continually on his mind praying for other Christians. And we have an opportunity here to express our love for each other by praying for each other in the church. That's part of the reason why we've recently been spending time focusing on prayer, having a prayer meeting for the men on Wednesday mornings, and doing a Sunday school class on praying in the Psalms, because we recognize that part of what Christians do in loving each other is praying for each other, to build each other up in Christ. But the other thing that Paul does is he expresses his thanksgiving and rejoicing at the faith and love of the Colossians. You know, it's really, really easy to see problems in other people. It is really easy to find someone else's faults when they've messed up, when they've done something wrong. And sometimes it becomes so easy to see other people's faults that we're not able to see the work that God is doing in their lives. What Paul is doing here is he is seeing the faith and love in the Colossians. And that causes him to rejoice. That causes him to rejoice and to be thankful. We are so quick to judge others, to think of them harshly, that sometimes we miss the good things that God is doing in their lives. And so Paul rejoices at those things. And not just that, it's not that he's rejoicing at it, but he then goes and shares it with them for the purpose of encouraging them and building them up. When's the last time that someone came to you in the church and encouraged you in this way? We don't often do this, what Paul does. And this is a repeated pattern in Paul. It's a regular practice that he tells the people that he's writing to encourage them, I see these good things, or I've heard these good things that God is doing in you. And that's caused me to rejoice. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that I'm praying for you, that I'm thankful for you. I see the good that God is doing in here. And I want to encourage you in that. Part of this living by faith in Christ Jesus, part of this living with love for all the saints, is doing what Paul's doing in verse 3, of praying for the church and expressing thanksgiving to encourage them, to build them up. Christians don't always have to be negative. We can be positive too and encourage each other, encourage one another, and build each other up. Being actively thankful and expressing that thanks as an encouragement to others in the church. Then finally, I want us to recognize who Paul is ultimately giving thanks to. Prayer and thanksgiving are ultimately two very humble actions because they're outward focused. When you give thanks to somebody, you're recognizing that they have done something, they've given you something outside of yourself that you either wouldn't have or wouldn't have done otherwise. And so it comes from a position of humility, of looking outward towards others. And Paul here recognizes that ultimately the faith and love that he is seeing at work in the Colossians is not something that they did all on their own. It's not something that Paul produced in them. He is writing them a letter to encourage them, to strengthen them, to build them up, to stir them on to continual faith and love But ultimately, Paul's not the one doing it, and the Colossians aren't either. He is not giving thanks to them for their faith and love. He is giving thanks to God. Because God is the one who produces faith. God is the one who produces the love in our hearts to be able to love those around us. The Christian, the good things, the faith that you have, the good works, the love that you perform and show to others is a work of God. And so when you see faith and love being expressed in the lives of other Christians around you, you're seeing God at work. You're seeing God's handiwork at play in the lives of humans. Now, if you weren't convinced before from Paul's example that giving thanks for the faith and love in others, think about it this way. When you give thanks, you are recognizing God's work in others. God is the one who produces faith and love. And so when you express that thanks to God or encourage others by it, you are recognizing the work that God is doing. And it is one of the most beautiful things in the world. If you were to think of it in terms of artwork, we all know good artwork, hopefully. When you go to a museum and you can appreciate the beauty of that artwork, and you can praise the artist for how talented he is, for the way he mixed all the colors together and created that picture, that thing of beauty. How much more should we praise God and thank God for the beautiful work that he is doing of turning sinners into saints? God is active in his church, in his bride. And we have an opportunity, not just once a year at Thanksgiving, but we have an opportunity to change our attitude and outlook. That we recognize that God is working in his church. God is working in his bride, producing faith and love. And our attitude in relating to the church, recognizing God's work in them, doesn't have to be all negative, but actually, we need to be busy praising God, thanking God for the work that he has done, for the work that he has done in our lives, of producing faith and love in us. And as we recognize that faith and love in others, praising and worshiping God and encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. Every Christian is the work of God. And we have the opportunity to praise him for it. Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you have done in us, the work that Jesus has done in us. And we ask that you would help us to rejoice in that work, to glorify you, and to encourage your church to build up the body of Christ. We ask as we go out this evening that you would fill us with love for each other and that we would be encouraged in the saints and in Christ. We pray this in the name of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.